It does like you.
How you doing, Mike?
That man is bereft of passion and imagination.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
Let the lesson begin.
You're carving us up like a roast.
And we are live.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Prime Universe, hello Kelvin Universe, hello Mirror Universe in both Kelvin and Prime. Boo, boo. We have opinions about these things. My God.
You won't like mine, Mike.
Oh. I'm eager to hear this now.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm hearing myself. All right, there we are.
Now
wait,
I hear.
Oh, it's there it is. All right.
Okay. Playback.
Okay, I can hear you, Kim. All right, I can hear her. So, my name is Mike McCafferty, and I just like to talk about Star Trek. I also like to broadcast about Star Trek, and that's exactly what we're doing right now on Google Hangouts. If you choose to go check it out, go to our Facebook page. You can watch the full video there. But I'm joined by two gadabouts, two fools, two slackjaw yokels.
Gadabouts.
That's true.
Now, who are you, woman? Me too. I just got me too'd.
Kim Miller?
Kim Miller, otherwise known as?
The Doctor.
The Doctor. And who is this fetching Turkish man I see before me?
The quiet Jason McCarris. Quiet storm, Jason.
The quiet storm because his wonderful wife, Chrissy, is asleep right now.
Exactly.
And you, gentle listener, are listening to I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. Well, we are going to talk tonight about episode 13, is it?
Yes.
Of Star Trek Discovery, titled Kim Miller.
What's Past is Prologue.
What's Past is Prologue.
From the Tempest.
Yes. So this is the second Shakespearean title they've had?
At least.
That's since we've been tracking them.
I haven't been paying close attention before.
Can I say, like, I'm going to start with something positive, which is their titles are actually pretty okay.
Whoa. Oh my God.
I am so in love with the original series Star Trek titles because they just go on forever, and they are far overreaching from the actual episode. And then the next generation
glory.
My favorite is either Let That Be Your Last Battlefield or For the World Is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky. Great
Romans
titles.
For Adonais. I'll just name them all. Beginning with.
Great titles, sometimes not so great episodes. And then the next generation started shortening them, like The Inner Light and The Samaritan Snare, and like 2 to 3 word titles. And then by the time we get to Discovery, I'm sorry, by Voyager and Deep Space Nine, it's like one word. Like duet, or battle, or, you know, face. I mean, just like ridiculous titles, you know.
Face,
thing, object, noun, predicate. At least it's a good title. At least it's a good title. And can you tell where I'm going to go with this by qualifying, by saying, at least it has a good title.
So you loved it.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that. We're in the Mirror Universe on this. Jason, what'd you think? And there it is.
Yeah. I really, you know, if it was, I guess if it wasn't Star Trek, if it was just any show I was watching, I guess I would really enjoy the episode. But because it's Star Trek, and but it's so far from anything else Star Trek, It's just bizarre.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
No, it makes total sense. You made more sense.
It was a good episode of television. I mean, but, you know, the 12 episodes that came before it to set it up were, I don't know.
All right. That's right. We'll let you off the hook.
I don't know what I'm watching anymore.
I know that. Kim, what did you think?
First viewing, I really enjoyed it. I liked all the action. Watching it again. I need to say that. Watching it again, I'm like, oh, okay. Forget everything you know about Star Trek. Then they added yet another major storyline about, what was it?
The Klingon
irreversible
War?
Damage Yeah, that too, actually. Irreversible damage to the mycelial network will kill life everywhere across the multiverse.
But didn't they fix it? They fixed it, right? Or no? Is it?
Yeah. Oh, I have a question about time travel later, too.
Oh, God, yes. Just to be every bag of trick they could pull out, they basically did.
I do agree with the doctor, though. Watching the episode, I was like, wow, okay, finally there is some action on the show. Other than, like, people aiming really poorly when shooting at people on rock planets.
It's some pretty exciting action sequence.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this episode still fulfilled the running as fast as you can and hoping nobody notices that everything around it is completely fake and has nothing, no context, you know? This episode was action-packed and things happened and characters died and ships flew fast, but what does it all mean? I mean, it was so, it was an episode which should have been like fourth season or episode 25.
Yeah.
Because we don't care about these characters. And here's the one moment which completely like epitomized what was going on. Burnham on board the flagship, you know, Federation flagship, walking around through Jeffrey's tubes as everyone must do, contacts the Discovery. And Saru shows up, Burnham, good to see you, and you too, old friend. And then she says, Captain Lorca is a mirror universe Lorca, he's evil. And this person, for which they've taken orders from for months, if not years,
yes,
they're just like, okay, what else? Like, nobody freaks out about that, you know?
True.
They're all just like,
that's a good example.
Yes, and, you know what I mean?
That's a great example of why they haven't spent enough time with all these people yet.
Yeah, nothing is earned because we don't know anybody. And in fact, Lorca is the one character who they've actually clearly like defined and worked on, and nobody seems to care that he's suddenly this insane evil person.
Well, they did have there was the recognition that he made the jump, right? I mean, somebody made that in the episode where
he
made the jump. So that ties into, okay, he brought us here for a purpose, which is he's not from our universe.
This junior detective league on the bridge all of a sudden is putting it all together with crazy Apple product woman.
Right.
Suddenly starts talking.
Yeah, I know she had a few more lines this week.
I'm like, where did you come from? When did you start talking?
Who's Apple product
is she, woman? What happened? How come we haven't seen Red Alert Face since the first one or two episodes?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe she die in the Battle of the Binary Stars, or is this Arium character her now?
Like, is that what her name is? I thought her name was like Frieza or something like that. Frieza Burns.
Frieza?
Yeah. That's what I thought I read. Okay.
No. Red Alert Face.
Anti-M? No. We haven't seen Red Alert Face. It's that woman who looks like a robot. Robot face.
Oh, right. Yeah. The one you said looked like, what's her face from Guardians of the Galaxy? Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She also looks like her, Nebula. Yeah, Nebula. Yeah. Nebula.
Yeah.
So once they point out that Lorca is a bad guy, they all put it all together, and they, you know, but again, there's still no mourning for the fact that their captain they've been betrayed for the past like 9 months, mm-hmm. you know, since the Battle of Binary Star, and perhaps earlier. All right, but let's dive into this episode a little bit more, this action-packed, nonsensical episode, and see what we think. Kim, where should we start?
Oh, at the beginning, where Lorca is gathering his followers from the Agonizer booths. Agony booths, not called that.
Just these, called Agonizers. Like, these weird shower booths that they're all in from like Home Depot.
We see Commander Landry again.
Yeah, somebody on the internet pointed out that she's like evil in both universes. I mean, like she was like pretty much. Just, like, you know, it's like there's no change. She's just like, aha, let's kill everyone. Aha, let's kill everyone. Which one are you?
Wait a minute. Were
the Agonizer's booths not a thing in any of the other series at all?
Yeah. No, they were since the original series, yeah.
But so were they in the original series?
I believe they were, weren't they?
Oh,
Kim, I believe,
yeah,
like,
of course.
Yeah.
Chekhov gets put in one, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets put in one, and then Kirk's like, no, that's enough. Where Michael Burnham's like, bye-bye, have fun in the Agonizer booth, Lorca.
Go have dinner and have Saru wash my fingernails.
These people, however, have been inside these Agonizer booths for, I guess, like a year?
Yeah, like, he says a year and 212 days. Basically live in there.
So, like, do they, I don't know, do they poop in there? Do they give them, like, bathroom breaks? What? How does that work? Because it's just like, okay, you know, 500 days they've been in this Agonizer.
Everyone, as soon as they're done being agonized, it seems like they're fine in seconds.
Yeah, there's nothing.
No lasting effects.
There's nothing. Like people who are in Guantanamo or whoever, I mean, like, they are scarred for life. People who have been, like, prisoners are just scarred. But these guys, they get out, oh, thank goodness you're here, Lorca. Oh, yeah, let's go shoot some people now. No, let's escape and let me have therapy for, like, 900 years because I have been emotionally scarred by the Agonizer.
But he gathers
way,
all.
I looked it up, and the Agonizer was in Mirror Mirror, which I should have realized had I watched.
You saw that.
I have seen it, but it's been several months, years. I can't remember now.
It's been 500 years.
Yeah. I think it's actually probably 2 years.
Since I've seen it, yeah. Well, so, but he gathers up all his followers again, or a big group of them, and somehow they get weapons. Not quite sure how that happened. After she warned him that there were 10 battalions of the Emperor's troops on board.
Yeah, there was it 10? I thought it was like 5. There was like 5. Like who cares? Because it doesn't matter because they're all dead, right? Because Lorca basically gets on the intercom. He's like, hello, everyone. This is Lorca. You should all change allegiances because I'm Lorca. And everyone's like, yeah, sounds like a good plan.
Forces Stamets to release his bioweapon.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he basically, you know, didn't you? Like, again, these very convenient situations. Like, oh, do you still have that bioweapon that we can, you know, flood the ship with? Why, yes, I do. And no one's ever planned for a contingency on that in an entirely evil universe.
I like how he completely evil flooded like a dozen decks with gas. And Giorgio's like, is that the best you can do? Like, that was pretty good. Jeez, she is evil.
Yeah, I guess so, but evidently not as evil as Lorca, because Burnham, like, immediately allies herself with the Empress, which just seems ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. With the World Series trophy there?
Yes, in her World Series revolving turntable, Lazy Susan. That's not me too. That's an extra title.
Lazy Susan. What did you call me?
So let's talk a little bit about Burnham's super quick flipping to Empress Philippa Giorgio.
Lazy Giorgio.
Yes.
Lazy Giorgio.
Yeah, she's immediately helping her, saying, oh, Lorca, he's trying to bait you. I know him. Like, why are you helping her? When we first started talking about the Emperor before we saw her, she said that the Emperor is known to be savage.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this person, I mean, fed ganglia, threat ganglia, to her, and you're going to trust her. I don't quite understand.
At that ganglia dinner, she just decided, gods, take her away. I'm like, wait, what just happened? And then again in this scene, after she's helping her, she gets all upset because, I don't know, calls her Philippa or something. It's like, again, gods, take her away.
Yeah.
Like, what?
as a little aside before I forget, did the governor of Andoria die? Did we see him dead on the ground there?
Oh,
I'm almost certain we saw that guy because I was trying to track that guy. I was like, man, that guy's the governor of Andoria because he cleaned up like 6 bodies of his friends.
He must be dead. The
fidget spinner.
Yeah, but I thought I saw like this panning shot with one guy in a gold cape and like laying there like very prominently with a beard. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's the governor of Andoria.
Oh, no. It didn't last long.
I know.
He ordered his business card.
Yeah. Now, is that an upgrade or a downgrade? Do you like lose your gold cape and get like a green cape or something? I mean, what?
Well, what's her name? The security person. The woman that came back, she mentions that they wiped out all their lords, all her lords and senior officers or something.
I assume it includes
that guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I mean, in the Mirror Universe, again, we're going to defeat them very easily because they just kind of walk in a straight line like revolutionary fighters with muskets and just kind of like charge into the thing with their laser rifles. And the Federation has like stream phasers. They just fire in a continuous stream. You could just sweep that whole area. You know, it's like beep, you're all dead. Goodbye. Well, these guys have like little laser blasts.
Pew pew pews.
Yeah, pew pew.
Waiting for the shield to come down eventually.
Oh jeez. And so are we at that scene right now where Lorca confronts Giorgio? Or
not quite. We learn that that thing that looked like a giant star powering the Imperial ship is actually a super mycelial reactor.
Yes.
Is protected by a force field that needs to be dropped so they can destroy him, like Star Wars.
I know, it's very Star Wars.
Jason.
What did you say, Jason? What did you tell them? Oh my God, we should have never had him watch any episodes of Star Trek. He has leaked trade secrets. He has talked to them. I know. That's why they split the season in two, because Jason was talking and said, listen, guys, you guys put in a Star Wars thing, it's going to kill. I know both now. They're like, damn it, he's right.
But back on the Imperial ship, Lorca wants to make sure that Michael is not touched because he wants to recruit her. So that he can make the Empire glorious again.
Oh, yeah. Sexy and glorious, thanks
What's
to Burnham.
That, reference to?
Glorious, glorious. Shout out to Lawrence Montaigne, dearly departed. It's not actually correct, but... well, I mean, he was a Romulan when he said that. It's fine.
That's true.
So again, we're this whole like Lorca Burnham thing is such a weird drop. It's supposed to like I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to they had sex. She was groomed, but there was nothing to indicate that in any of the previous episodes.
Yeah, not
he
at
was
all.
Never at any point. I mean, he sleeps with his ex girlfriend psychologist Admiral. Which I have to think, did she exist in the Mirror Universe? And I can't recall that she did. I mean, maybe
everybody
she did.
Everybody did, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, like, did he have relationships with her just like he had? I mean, I don't think they had, like, the same relationship. Maybe she is, like, an admiral and a psychologist and wears a gold cape and, you know, kills everyone and whenever they're having mental problems. I mean...
It's the easiest degree. You're patient. Ah, you're sick.
Well, let me give you this here. Next. I'm good. All hail the Empire, which is on every door. What is it on the door? Like, it had that weird like
long
sticker
live
on
the Empire.
Long live the Empire.
Like high school football students, they slap it when they walk through.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, let's see, what should long live? Oh, the Empire. Oh, that's right. Glad we put that out there. That's actually someone's band name. It's one of those stickers they put on like on signs like outside of you know, like on the freeways, you know. Hello everyone, we are Long Live the Empire. This is our song, Giorgio's Gotta Go, Yo.
Yeah,
that rhyme was pretty bad. Giorgio's got a Gorgio. Giorgio's, I can't.
All right. The jet lag.
The jet lag.
Did you mention to our friends that you returned from Cyprus?
Yes, I was in Cyprus as of yesterday, and I flew 20 hours and then slept 12 hours straight. Went up and went to work at Hot Streets, which you should all be watching.
Yes.
Should have said Monday that earlier.
Nights, Cartoon Network.
Adult Swim. Adult Swim turns into Adult Swim.
Yes.
At midnight this week we have The Bractagon, one of the best episodes, and then followed by The Ballad of Autumn Gold, the Old West, just like
can
a fistful
reveal?
Of datas. What's that?
Can you reveal your future cast member?
Who, Willie Roberts?
No.
No. We cannot. No. Okay. No. And we must say nothing more. We must say nothing more. Okay. Thank you. All right. Very good.
That's why I asked.
Yes. Yes. None of that exists. All right. So be that as it may, what are we talking about now? So I'm a little jet lagged anyways. Yeah.
It's hilarious. So, hallway confrontation with the wall, the energy wall that blocks pew pews.
Yes. Which she is erected and stands there. And then a weird exchange where it's like the little mini laser cannons come out, pew, 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 but doesn't kill Lorca or Landry. And then they pew, pew, the laser cannon. And then they shoot the wall and then kill everybody but Giorgio, who beams away because she has a...
Emergency transport.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell's going on here? I mean, this is...
And Lorca yells at Mirror Stamets for not warning him about that.
We saw that earlier in the season, didn't we? Where somebody... or transported within the ship somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is Burnham. Yeah, this is established in this series, although right. once we hit the original series, that doesn't work anymore. So
right.
for whatever reason. But yeah, these fights are, I mean, they're exciting, but they're all tactically terrible. The Georgia would just stand there with a group of guards and not, and if she has a sight to sight transporter, computer, lock on to Lorca and beam him into space. And now Landry, and now guard number 2, and now guard number 7, and guard number 15. You know, I mean,
and the governor of Andoria.
And now the governor of Andoria, because he has failed me.
The governor of Andoria.
And red alert face.
Red alert face and iPod girl.
Wait, why is she iPod girl? I don't
understand. She was Apple person? Girl earlier.
She's Apple girl. That's she's evolved. Yeah, she just looks like an Apple product. That's what I just think. Like she has like smooth skin and like chrome
iMac.
Look. Yeah, like an
blueberry
iMac.
Color.
She's blueberry iMac.
Blue.
Who has now fallen under our wrath since she started talking in this. She's probably, this actress is probably like, oh my God, I probably got a talking scene.
Internet.
All right, so let's go. So that was kind of a thing. They just
but then
did
we
stuff.
Lose a major character.
Mary, oh, is that when Stamets goes? Stamets.
Stamets through the evil Mr. Burns trapdoor.
Through the what is it in the moon door?
The moon door
of Game of Thrones opens up.
And,
the what?
It's more like the sun door, since they had that, you know.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the mycelium sun door. And they open it to tease, like, we'll throw you out there. And then, although Lorca has a pretty good line here, where he says, that would be poetic justice to throw you out there. And then he shoots him and says, like, I'm not one for poetry or something. I'm not much for poetry.
Yeah, I think so. I forgot.
That's actually, I'm going to get, that's.
Just to freak him out by opening the door.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, yeah. It is just as good as that. All right, so where do we go from here? So evil Stamets is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So long, we barely knew.
Does anyone care? Exactly.
No one cares because he was like a non-character in the mycelium network. I mean, he was neither good nor evil, mm-hmm. which was weird. Now, I was wrong. They did not switch bodies, so hats off, Discovery. You fooled me on that. Well, I mean, I thought they switched bodies when they went to the different, when like they left. I thought that evil Stamets was on Discovery and good one was on the.
What made you think that?
I think like the editing, I think it just like made me think like, oh, is he the bad guy there? And like this, who knows? I mean, like,
even more complicated.
Well, yeah, like why is that such a weird thing? I mean, everything here is crazy town, you know? It's that's the one thing that they actually did without any sort of subterfuge. All right, so, but yeah, like Stamets, again, like as a character who got evaporated, just like most of these Mirror Universe people, with very little, we build none of them up. There's nothing at stake for us when they die. It's like, ooh, not that guy. Not Landry again.
Does the Mirror Universe really matter? Should it matter to us?
Just every time you say Landry, season? I think you're going to say Landrew.
Landrew. Oh, very good.
Oh, as you should.
Maybe that's what happens to Landry, because we don't actually see Landry die. Maybe she beams out and becomes Landrew. Puts her hair up in a bun and...
puts her hair...
becomes a white man.
With a fluffy wig.
You will be absorbed. So where do we go to next?
Lorca's talking to Burnham. You belong here because the Federation is doomed to failure. Your childish idealism.
Now, is he talking to her on all those like those weird Best Buy TV screens that are everywhere?
Yeah. Yes, the Costco TV section.
There. So I want you to walk down any sort of hallway in any place you know and count how many TV screens there are. There's probably like none, unless like you're in an airport or something like that. In the Empress's Admiral ship, like there are like every hallway has like at least 6 monitors.
And 2 machine guns built into the wall.
And 2 machine guns built in the wall. I mean, that thing was just stocked. She's like, I want TVs everywhere.
I watch sports here.
This This will become the sports bar of the galaxy. I want
my
cricket.
Sports book.
I want rugby. I want high lie.
Evil high lie.
Evil high lie. I want lie high. Oh.
Ridiculous.
All right, so she's walking around while Lorca is just having free rein to talk to her. I mean, there is no kill switch on any of these monitors or intercoms.
But by this point, what's her name? Giorgio has escaped. And
yes.
Burnham finds her. My bracelet makes my life signs undetectable. How did you find me in my really cool dining room or whatever?
I had forgotten that they had actually met there, like, last episode. That's how little I was. I mean, and, like, how does Burnham have such a great working knowledge of this ship as far as, like, where to go? And she's like, I had a feeling you'd be here. This is where you need to meditate. Like, what?
This is where you eat ganglia.
Except you eat this is your ganglia eating room. What are you doing?
Chopsticks and a big spoon.
I use the spoon for the broth, you understand? The evil the broth.
Evil broth. Yes, yes. Mike is nearer me.
No, I know. We've switched over. Now I'm at your house and you're at mine.
I'm brushing my teeth in your bathroom. My favorite time of day. Really?
That's your favorite time with your husband?
All right.
It's not making love or kissing or watching TV. It's brushing teeth. Well, but she finds her.
Yeah, Giorgio has her Burnham's little badge.
Yes, yes, which also has, like, the name on the back, which is good, mm-hmm. just in case. Hey, who is that your badge or is that mine? Okay, thanks. I have my name on it. So this is why Emperor Giorgio is a bad empress, is because when she's being attacked, she goes and sits in her dining room and does nothing. She has no alternative play. She just sits there.
Well, she can't hang out in her trophy,
This is Series trophy.
Trophy with no seat in it. She just has to stand the whole time.
My Empress, are you getting tired at all? We could get you a chair.
Fidget spinner. He offered me a chair.
Do I look like I need a chair?
Take him away.
Take him away. Take them all away. Where do we take them away to? Just put them in the shower room. Just put them in the little shower stalls. She thinks they're agonizers. They're just showers. I just give them showers every day.
Just act like it hurts.
I'm going to shine a red light on you. You're going to scream. And then, like, every time she walks by, then it's all going to be cool. Okay, guys? I mean, agonizers are expensive. Okay?
They're expensive.
We didn't have a budget.
We spent it on a crazy ship which has a sun in the middle of it. It's so impractical.
All the money went into our moon door.
I want a moon door here for people to fall into my mycelium star. Okay. I mean, Jesus, yeah. All right. I mean, you, go put that in there. Take her away. Oh, shit, damn it.
Every scene ends with her. Take them away.
Just put them in the shower. Stop.
But in this scene, that's where Michael declares that she is going to stop Lorca for what he's done to me and to others and for the loss of life to come. Again, completely ignoring that this emperor is supposed to be so violent and savage.
Do we not just see Empress Giorgio kill all the rebels? Just, like, wipe them out, including probably her mirror universe father? I mean, like, what? Well, no, when she killed, like, adoptive father and Sarek.
Oh.
Remember that? Remember how emotional that was? How, like, zero people cared about that? Mirror universe Valk, and they're all dead because, like, no one cared about that? Because she just shows up and, like, bam, 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 and they're all dead. And, you know, so, I mean, to me, like, Burnham's affinity for this character is just so baffling. It's the writer saying, we want to have Michelle Yeoh back in this. She's going to be back in it. And Jason Isaacs has decided not to do another season of this because he wants to do more of the OA or you know, be in the next Harry Potter movies or whatever. But
yeah, what's that about? He chose to leave, or they all along planned to just have him do one season?
I think they really want him, and I'm sure in contract negotiations to get him back somehow. because, I mean, his face is plastered all over the advertisements.
Yeah. He was on After Trek after this episode talking about it. So,
what'd he say?
He didn't say I'm going to be back or anything because that would give away too much. So at this point, like he's not coming back.
Well, where's the non-mirror Lorca?
Yeah, I was wondering that myself.
I mean, it's been postulated on the internet that he's dead, but
he must have snapped his neck.
Yes, he got his neck snapped. I mean, because they said he was dead in this universe, or they was presumed dead. So maybe he's still alive. Maybe he's still alive in the mirror universe. He's going to pop into our universe and be like, "Oh, I'm back," because he's actually great. And it was so.
Yeah.
And Jason Isaacs is so good that he flips the switch on being evil with no setup and no character development towards that. We have this very morally gray character throughout the entire, like, first, you know, 12 and a half episodes. And then he flips a switch in episode 12 halfway through and becomes super evil. And I kind of buy it.
Like that he didn't remove the blood from his head the whole time. Just left it on.
Oh, from, like, smashing his nose and...
Oh, no, from the first battle.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's just so, I don't want to wipe that off, you know, I mean.
Three makeup artists worked very hard to put this on my face. I'm not going to wipe it off for no reason.
Can we keep it on? Can we keep it on? All right, Scottish. What is he, British or Welsh?
He's British. We established that.
English.
All right. I flew on British Airlines, by the way. Very nice service. British Airways. And they have this video, like the safety video, with all these British actors from like comic relief, you know, like people like, but no, it was like Ian McKellen and Warwick Davis and, was it Warwick Davis? Yeah, Warwick Davis and I can't remember, like, who's the guy from Top Chef or Iron the chef
Gordon Ramsay?
Gordon Ramsay, not Gordon Ramsay. Is that like the guy's Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, that guy. So like everyone doing like comedic stuff, right? Just like they're all like you know, make sure that you do this. You bloody hell! What am I doing? Why am I saying that? But like, and it's all very funny and chipper, and they have Tandy whatever from Westworld. Remember the girl? Oh.
Tandy Newton.
Yeah, and the guy called her. Oh, good job, Sandy. It's Tandy. You know, it's all very funny. And then out of nowhere, Gillian Anderson shows up.
With a British accent?
With a British accent.
Oh, boy.
And she's like, you know, make sure your seatbelts are quite properly fastened. And then she's in this, like, British accent. And then, like, the host guy's like, that's great, but can you make it a little less serious? We're not in the X-Files. And they never reference the fact that she's doing a fake British accent. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Do you push for the flight attendant button?
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. She's from America, and I'm sorry to rat her out, but, you know, you guys, come on. Because then she comes back, where they're like, I'll send you guys the video. Maybe I'll post it, where it's like, where Davis is like, you know, thank you very much for being here. And, you know, Ian McKellen, like, it is very important that you listen to these. And then Gillian Anderson shows up. She's like, we all appreciate your time. And I'm like, what is this?
Imposter.
She's the real Lorca. That's what I've come to realize.
Is Mr. Bean in it as well?
Mr. Bean is in it, yes.
Yes, I'm watching it right now. I've actually found it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Well, post it on the webpage because it is baffling because they don't make any reference to the fact that she's not... Like, if they said, good...
There's a director's cut.
Maybe it's on there, but yeah. I watched it three times and I was mesmerized by it. I could not... Like, I do know where all the exits are. I do know how to inflate my device for swimming. Jet lagged, mirror universe, Mike. Ah. All right, moving on quickly.
Back on the ISS Charon.
Charon, is that what it is?
Which is also the name of Let That Be Your Last Battlefield's planet.
Oh, is it Charon? Is that how they spell? All right.
So she's executed, or Landry has executed the lords and senior officers, and Lorca is there playing with Giorgio's sword, which he's carelessly left behind.
Yes.
When Michael Burnham arrives with Giorgio as a captive, you must kill her to make your claim to the throne legitimate. And in exchange, for my crew, not harming my crew, you can have me. My mind! Nothing more.
Yeah. Just so we're clear.
Why not?
Why are we making that weird distinction? I mean, like, is that, I mean, that's such a 2017, 2018 thing. Like, you know, you can have my mind, but not my body. I mean, like, you're in the mirror universe. Whatever's going to seal the deal. I mean, oh my God, it's terrible.
But why is she turning him down?
Yeah, I mean, because she's not going to do it anyways. You know, it's not like, oh, this is, I mean, she obviously has a plan, and she did. And of course, dumb Lorca, who has been evil, manipulative so far to get them back to the mirror universe and to take over the empire at this point in time, is like, all right, that sounds good. Give me your phaser and go ahead and contact your ship, you know.
If you don't want to sleep with me, that's fine. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Evil Lorca's fine with that. Okay.
Evil Lorca's okay. We did miss the sequence, like, where I earlier posited that, like, she was in Jeffrey's tomb, and she said, oh, Lorca's evil, blah, blah, blah. No one seems to care. But then he talks to his crew, and he's actually kind of a good guy again. It's weird. He's like, you know, I tell you this, it was an honor to serve with all of you. It's like, well, then what's
Saru,
your deal?
I admire you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we should talk about Saru, too, because Saru, to me...
Wait, before we get together. This is a question I had about time travel. Before that scene, we're back on Discovery's mushroom lab, and Tilly is back to her curly hair. And that's where they figure out that they can surf on a wave of energy after they blow up this mycelial power source.
Yes.
Long enough to activate the drive, and they can navigate home. And then Stamets has a little speech about, yes, so we should be able to pinpoint the right pathway to take us to the right point in the timeline. Or I'm like, wait a minute. Timeline? <Yeah. laughs> When did we talk about time travel before?
Oh, I wish.
Mushroom.
I wish I had picked up on that like you did, because I did not see that coming. And I was like, oh, boy. We are just throwing everything off the ship, aren't we? We are trying to lighten the load here, man, because the balloon is sinking, and, you know. Let's see. Mirror Universe, my shield travel, time travel. Oh, it goes out, you know.
I don't remember in the early discussions of what you can do with the spore drive if they had talked about being able to jump anywhere in time. I thought it was anywhere in physical space.
I don't remember that either, which it's just...
It just slipped in there so sneaky. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that. I mean, I was generally, like, happy with the... I mean, not generally happy, but at least they were going back to technobabble a little bit, saying, like, oh, if we do this, we can do... It was all clumsy. I mean, the Next Generation handled it so well. They made you believe that anything they were saying actually could work. When it was all garbage. It was all just, like, nonsense.
All technobabble, and then easy-to-understand metaphor, and then time constraint. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we could do this, we could reverse this, and if we do it enough time, well, there won't be enough time, you know.
And Stamets throws in the no-win scenario reference.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and then they went to that hard. Although someone, I think Reddit coined it the Kobayashi Saru, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But again, we see Saru, and I'll say this: like, Saru to me is the most idyllic. He is the most pure character we have on Discovery, and stealthily he has become the most intriguing character.
Yeah.
If he does not become captain by the end of this season, I will be very, very upset.
I want to go visit his home planet and see this binary species system that they have. And
yeah.
See all of this. Like, he, I want to know more about.
Yes, and he at least holds to some level of the Federation's standards and morals. Like Burnham does not, Lorca does not, no one else. I mean, maybe Tilly, but Tilly's not, you know, ready. Let him be the captain for next season. He's so interesting. I want to see what he, because you know what, he was good. He had a good plan, and he executed it, and he does it with as little loss of life as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Burnham's happy just beaming people out into space. You know, it's like, oh, yeah.
spacing
them for a weird subplot about what was the other ship?
Charon?
No, the other Constitution class that came through.
Defiance?
The Defiant, yeah, without, yeah, I was going to try to say Discovery. The Discovery, like that weird subplot, which didn't go anywhere. You know, we spent two episodes trying to get the Defiant information, and then Giorgio's like, that doesn't work anyway. And you think, maybe that'll come back. Nope, that's not coming back anywhere, folks. A little bit of a wild goose chase.
But back on the Discovery Bridge, and that's where he says, oh, Saru, I admire you. And the crew, you're all great. And that's where Saru doesn't believe that Burnham really wants to stay there until he hears it from her.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been pronouncing it Saru for weeks. And several times in this episode, at least, they say Saru.
Yeah.
I think it's probably Saru. Different ways. Who knows? Yeah. Saru? Lieutenant Saru?
Then we have this extended battle fight scene, hand-to-hand combat. I love when all these massive storylines boil down to people just slugging it out. Reminds me of what is it? I can't think of the name. Lethal Weapon comes down to Gary Busey and Bill Gibson fighting in the sprinkler.
On the front lawn. Yeah, that's right.
Broken fire hydrant.
Well, it's such a weird. You know, the ideologies come down to a fist fight, just like in all the Marvel movies, where it's like, you know, like, I want, like, the good guys, I want this, the other good guy, I want this, we should fight about it, and then whoever punches the hardest is right. And so, yeah, they do have that weird fight with Giorgio and Burnham kicking ass.
It's kind of cool, I like that. Because I like seeing Michelle Yeoh do her awesome straight leg, the old kick behind your own shoulder move. Right.
Most of the time it's like a gag, but she could probably pull it off. I mean, she's, you know.
Like, yes, Crouching Tiger.
Crouching Tiger hidden leg trick, you know.
I also appreciated that one of the people they were fighting was a woman, female stuntman, is battling along with him.
Uh-huh.
Like, cool. Headbutts, knife fights. Michelle tries to hide in her trophy. her hard-boiled egg slicer. She jumps in.
Bring me a giant egg.
When Lorca went whack with the sword and damaged it, I'm like, no, not the trophy. And of course, my favorite, trying to pinch you.
Give me your shoulder. I'm gonna pinch you. I'm gonna pinch you so hard.
Not pinch. Don't make me kill you. You won't. I thought that whole thing was exciting. I watched it twice.
Oh, all right. I didn't mind. I mean,
it's
forgive fine.
All the other crap, but that was exciting.
Well, I mean, it harkens back to the original series fights where they just like kick the crap out of each other. And but this one, I mean, I guess
there were some that harkens back to the original series fights.
I just want to see someone, maybe Tyler, at some point, do the two-handed clubbing.
Lorca did it. Lorca did it. That's what that's someone. Someone said like on the internet said, "Oh, I'm glad Lorca did his two-handed fist thing."
Well, I missed that.
Oh yeah, the Kirk two-handed fist punch, man. It is the 23rd century's greatest achievement. That is the way you, because you can just beat the, if you know, interlock your fingers and punch somebody with that, it's indefensible. There's nothing you can do about it. It's better than the Vulcan nerve pinch. Vulcan nerve pinch, you got to grab them in the shoulders, man. Two-handed, man, you just start swinging away, boom, 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 they're all gone.
But did you appreciate then? Do you feel like Michael Burnham acted more like traditional Starfleet by not killing him?
I mean, after everything she's been through, to be like, I wish you would have asked, is such a weird, like, fourth grade thing. Like, you didn't say please. You know, I mean, you know, if you would have asked, we would have helped you. And I mean, like, I understand, like, Lorca's like, oh, but I'm from a mirror universe. There's no, but he perfectly mimicked everything about that universe's Lorca without realizing, hey, I'm from a different universe. Can you get me back home? Instead, he's like, oh, plan all this subterfuge. It was a Starfleet thing of her to do, but the logic was so wonky by that point in time. it sort of stuck out to me. It's like, oh, well, that's nice, but that makes no sense. So
it just leads you to the cool moment of, that's why I won't kill you now, but I will.
Yeah. Yes. So Giorgio again showing her redemptive qualities by killing an unarmed man in the back.
But and then we finally use that sword that was not just ceremonial. So
yes, and the Chekhov's moon door in literature The invoked moon door opens up and Lorca falls through it and into the mycelium network, where he is, of course, destroyed and never going to come back unless he signs the contract for season 2.
But Michael Burnham manages to drop the containment field, and Giorgio gives her back her communicator.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe then the old leap on someone being transported trick.
Yes. Surprise.
Exactly.
Star Trek 4. That's when Catherine Hicks did it.
It's the first time we ever saw that little trick was in Star Trek 4.
I think so. I mean, it's such a weird trick.
Else do that.
It's like somehow they're like pneumatic tubes where if you just grab on that person, you'll get sucked up into the vortex and, you know, pop out in a little container on the Enterprise. Like it doesn't, I don't think it should work like that. I don't think they just beam everything in that little zone. Because like, what if her leg didn't quite make it in? It's like, oh, whoops, sorry, your leg is gone.
I think they should rematerialize, fuse together.
Yeah, that would be great.
Kill me! And then black alert.
Black alert, because they're trying to escape.
By flying through the energy orb.
Yes, flying through the energy orb and finding the reactor chamber, and Nine Nub and Lando see it and they shoot it. Yeah. Wait, is this the right show? Damn it, Jason. What the hell?
Your t-shirt is throwing us all off.
Nine Nub.
Nine Nub. Nine Nub. Each up, Nine Nub.
Nom, 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 nom.
Meow, 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 meow. Okay.
Meow, you say?
All right, so they... And then Landry, of course, probably the most competent officer on both universes, is like, is the containment wall up or something like that? And is like, is there...
nope.
Why? What? Is there ever a reason? Maybe there is a reason, but to me, I didn't see any reason. Like, they never showed it. It's like, turn the containment wall off. I mean, like, there's never, you know...
Burnham was supposed to have done that, although I can't remember her doing that.
Did she? She never said something about that.
Maybe she did. I don't remember that. But I mean, is there ever a reason to turn off the containment wall? It's like, I mean, leave the gas cap off. You know, like, okay. I mean, anyway, it's a small point. So they fire the photon torpedoes and they destroy it, and then they ride the wave.
Yeah, and there's a visual effect that I don't think we've seen before, actually traveling the network.
That was kind of cool, yeah. And then
Culber reappears
so that he can tell him about opera from La Boheme.
Follow the music. Open your eyes.
Well, because La Boheme, as I mentioned before, is Rent, which they were both in.
Right. Oh, he was in that too?
They were co-stars, yeah.
Oh, Angel. Interesting. Well, oh, all right. Well, yeah. So, I mean, it provided an interesting little moment. Again, it was magic, which is always kind of a little, you know, weird in Star Trek. That's like, oh, yeah, if I just remember the music, it'll help me find my way home. And I guess it helped him focus, but I don't know how that necessarily translated into following a mycelium network. I mean, if I'm ever, like, lost and, like, I don't have my phone, like, I don't have to, like, just think about this song. Just think about the theme from Star Trek, and you'll find your way.
The song was about, you know, remembering where your phone was, maybe. Is it like a pneumatic device to try and help you remember where your phone is?
Turn right on Magnolia Boulevard. Oh, that's right, yeah.
And if you haven't found it, go ahead and check the bathroom, because that's probably where it is.
Oh, ridiculous. Time travel, boom, 9 months in the future. Klingons have won the war.
So we get back. We finally get back from this three-episode arc. From basically this whole arc, ever since the first two episodes, this has been an arc which has been leading to get them into the Mirror Universe. They return, and we're back, and we have some sort of normalcy. No, with two episodes left, we are 9 months in the future, like a pregnant person. and the Klingons have won the war, pretty much.
Hmm. Why don't they just jump 9 months back with them, if they have time travel ability? Or jump a year back and defeat the Klingons? Avoid the whole battle of the binary stars? Ah, this makes no sense!
don't ask those time travel questions! Kiernan, my son, watched Star Trek Generations against my wishes.
That's only the beginning. Against your wishes.
I told him, I know. I came home. I was so exhausted. I came home around like 6 o'clock. And of course, like, dad. So I'm thinking about watching some of the Star Trek movies. I'm like, oh, good to see you too, buddy. And and I'm like, he's like, should I watch Generations? I'm like, you know, but I don't watch Generations. Watch First Contact. I'll watch First Contact with you. Because Generations has like the old cast and like, wouldn't make much sense. He's like, okay. So I go lay down and I'm falling asleep and I wake up and I hear him listening to Generations, watching Generations. I'm like, what did I just say? You know?
Daddy, who's Antonia? Why isn't
he? Yeah. He remembered her name. I couldn't believe it. I was like, he's like, do you like that? I was like, well, you know, he was like, it was weird they went into that Nexus. And I was like, yeah, because, you know, Kirk, he, you know, that girl on that horse isn't his love. And he's like, Antonia? I'm like, how do you know that? Why are you so focused
your
on
your son, that's how.
Yes, this is true. But
I mean, why does Picard have this very British Victorian fantasy?
Yeah. Papa, come. Come open the presents.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jean-Luc. Oh, thank you, Will.
But I did point out to him the fact that traveling back from the Nexus, they could have arrived at any time prior to when the sun exploded. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they could have arrived right when Sauron was like, you know, I want to go to this place. And they could have said, no, we're not going to do that.
Yep.
Like other Picard could have shown up in 10 forward and said, don't listen to that man. Goodbye. You know, I mean, like, that could have been it. And they would have disappeared and it was fine. But time travel is filled with problems.
Didn't they address time travel pretty funny way on Futurama when they could only go forward? Do you remember that episode?
No.
Oh, look that up. I'll post it on the Facebook page, a link to that episode.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's very funny. So they have to like go all the way around eternity until they come back to a point in time that kind of matches their own or something.
Oh, I think I might have seen that. Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
Like little quick flashes of what the future looks like, and in one, like, giraffes are our overlords or something.
I remember that. Yeah, they kept on going like further and further in the future so they could loop back around, and it was always kind of crazy and weird. All right, so that was the episode.
Update your tactical maps.
Yes, please update
your
tactical
apps.
Please check Waze, for some areas have been overrun by Klingons. All right, so we've got two episodes left, and they've got to fix all of this.
Well, that was kind of my biggest gripe, which I was telling you guys in text messages, was why are there two more episodes? This was kind of a good place to end. Lorca's dead, they travel back, and they think they've won, and all of a sudden they get back, the Klingons have won the war. Why not end it there? Why do we have two more episodes of trying to reconstruct stuff?
They're probably going to just try to set up next season, I would guess.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, they really could have just cut off right there, like, well, let's wait for, you know, another year until we can see what happens.
Find out how we make peace with the Klingons.
Yeah, I guess we're going to be, I guess the... To me, I mean, if they resolve it...
I guess explaining to them that... Well, in the Mirror Universe, everybody gets along, so you guys should just get along with us, too.
Choose your pain. Watching this show. Ha! Just kidding.
Whoa!
Wow.
Early, no, you said you liked it.
I did. I like Michelle Yeoh.
I don't like her. I mean, I like the actress, but I just... it's. There's nothing. I mean, like her grabbing onto her and beaming her to the Discovery. It's just why. And then we see. I guess we see in the next. You know, the teaser for next episode. It's like, oh, I will show you how to defeat the Klingons. Like, oh, good. what is she like? You know, fire your weapons at them. Oh, yes. Wow, that's.
First, you must install machine guns in all your hallways.
And then lots of flat screen TVs on those hallways.
You need way more flat screen TVs.
Big ones and little ones.
There's a sale at Fry's this week.
I'm afraid we can't do that. Take him away. We can't do that either. Take you away. Again, we can't. Take me away. Oh, well, all right, we could do that, I guess.
Just the way she gets out of any conversation where she's uncomfortable. Take him away.
Take him away.
But watching this, remember in the Mirror Mirror episode, the original, doesn't Kirk have a line about how, it's Spock. He says, like, you fit into the mirror universe, or you were able to hide yourselves in the mirror universe better than these mirror people could hide in ours.
Yeah.
Yep. They were instantly, Lorca did it quite seamlessly, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk, who is probably smarter, and he's craftier than Lorca. Kirk was probably the most crafty, he could think on his feet better than any of the other captains, I believe, because he was always making it up. And yet, in the Mirror Mirror episode, he's a raving lunatic. He's like, I order you to release me! You know, it's like, that's not going to work. I mean, when two guards are hauling you away, stop, he ordered us. Okay, yeah.
He was able to pretend he's a Chicago mobster. He can do anything.
Exactly. Yes.
What a piece of our action. Why are you talking like that, sir? Double punch.
Conversation over.
Take him away.
All right. Well, we're going to take this podcast away. We're done with this one. But thank you for listening. We've got two more of these. I can't remember who on the Mycelio Network Facebook page.
Is that what we're renaming it?
We should. Basically said, why have we forsaken? Maybe it was on Twitter. I can't remember where.
Jim? Let's see. Zach?
Jim, Zach? Rick? Hold on. I'll find it. Let's see. Someone.
The next episode is titled The War Without, The War Within.
Oh, Bill Stratt said, my love for Star Trek. Oh, no. That's what I said.
to quote a genius of all time.
Oh, no, he said, Bill Stratt said, Mike McCaffrey, have you lost all love for the one and only series called Star Trek? That little thing created, I understand planning podcasts around Discovery episodes, but who cares? Star Trek. And let's stop calling it TOS. It came first and is Star Trek.
Oh.
Very, very nice. And then... And I said, yes, my love for Star Trek is as constant as the Northern Star. But STD is the catch of the day, so I need to deal with that first. That's a Star Wars reference for you, Jason.
Catch of the day.
And then he posts a riddle. He posts a multiple choice question. Ooh. He says, what gives Captain Kirk a bellyache? Is it A, Saurian brandy, B, Klingons, C, mysteries, or three season three girdles?
Third one, mysteries.
Jason?
I'm going with Klingons.
Ah, the answer is mysteries.
Yes.
Mysteries,
yes.
Oh, very good.
What was that from?
I don't like mysteries, and the mysteries give me a bellyache, and I got a whale of one or something like that. He says,
"That's right."
I don't remember where that's from. Bonus points if someone can actually name the episode without looking it up.
Oh gosh,
got a mystery on our hands, and give me a bellyache or something. I can't remember the line, but I do remember the line because it's a good line. Mysteries give me a bellyache. All right, so thank you very much. Make sure you subscribe to something and do something.
I don't like mysteries that give me a bellyache. I've got a beauty right now.
Ah, that's it.
All right, and I got a beauty right now. Jason, of course, didn't listen to what I just said, which was to look it up. He immediately, yes.
Immediately spoiled it.
He's a traitor from a race of traitors.
I didn't tell you what it was from. I mean, I looked it up.
All right, so watch Hot Streets, listen to our podcast, do all the things you need to do in life. Stay out of the Mycelium Network, stay out of the Mirror Universe, and join us. Because I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm not burping, Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason Karras.
Maybe I was having a mycelial burp.
Ew.
What universe is this? Where am I?
The Mushroom Universe.
The Mushroom Universe. I'm that person, and I just want to talk about...
Star Trek!
Oh my gosh. You have to watch our video for that.
Worthwhile.
Error, law, imperfection. I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it. And here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right. Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL. The 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban, and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans, and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air, and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve a pe in Spanish,
oh my gosh.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh my God.